Good evening. Good evening, everyone. You've tuned in to Radiance by Design. We are Radiant by Design. My name is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I'm absolutely fascinated by the topic of love. In fact, for years, I bored everybody with bursting into, I want to know what love is. My reason is that we use the word in so many different ways. And in metaphysics and all kinds of meditational activities, we all say, oh, it's just loving each other. But if you watch carefully inside of yourself as well as in the external world, it is difficult to stay in the attitude of love at all times. And is it an attitude? I think it's an energy. One of the people that I've had on, I've got a book here. One of the people I had on recently is a delightful soul called Dave DeLuca. I call him delightful, even though he wasn't really what you call giddy or anything. He brought forward there's one on every page, a poem that came from the Vedantics, the Veda scriptures from way back. That's thousands of years back, actually. And these scriptures that are the basis for a lot of Indian, I think it's Hindu. I'm not really sure if it was Hindu or who it is. Are we okay? Okay. I don't know if it's Hindu. I don't want to be sacrilegious by saying the wrong thing, so I'm just going to talk generally. But what he's saying in each one of these things is that the purpose of life is the purpose of connecting consciously to our divinity in all things. And that's what we all meditate for, and that's what we live for. We go through all of these experiences, and what we want to connect with is, or what we want to grow through experience, grow through the Maya, the illusions of life, into that oneness, that unity with the divine presence, or that eternal feeling, or that all that is. Now, I know we often have, I don't know how many of you have this or want to talk about it, but we have sometimes snippets or flashing, brief encounters with that feeling. And sometimes it's a struggle. Sometimes we can't really find that. I remember joking when I was young and a lot cheekier and saying to someone, well, yeah, I permit you your amount of divinity in your life, and the rest of it I can't stand. It's kind of cheeky. Anyway, the first hymn in this book, he calls them hymns or poems or whatever, and the first one has a wonderful way of talking about that unity between, as he says, being and non-being, and I guess that's acting, reacting, and so on, and that infinite flow that's divinity. And there's one line in it that I wanted to mention. I'll read the little last stanza because I think it's pinpoints it. pinpoints it. And in the one arose love, the first seed of the soul. The truth of this the sages found in their hearts, seeking in their hearts with wisdom. The sages found that bond of union between being and non-being. And I take that to mean, I really loved it. I pounced on that line, love, the seed of the, what are the exact words here? I've closed my book, you know how that works. Love, the first seed of the soul. I really like that because when we say everything is love, it just reminded me of that, and also the fact that the glue of the universe is love. First seed of the soul, I just feel like it's what catalyzes. Maybe it catalyzes the yearnings. It catalyzes the focus. It catalyzes the peace. It catalyzes the feeling of divinity that flows through so many of us. That's how it works with me in any case. So I want to talk about taking love, not necessarily lightly, but taking love. I know of a man who's a very cherished man, and he's older, and he's dying. He's in his 90s. And he has been a very successful man in many ways, starting off and during the war, Second World War, going through that, going through the GI Bill, becoming a professional, and so on. And as he struggles with life and death, he's also struggling with, I would say, now this is my opinion, this is how it feels to me. He's struggling with that issue of divinity within and the feeling of love in spite of detail. Does that make sense? Anyway, he had some experience one time when he could barely talk, and he had had some two strokes, and suddenly he was aware that no matter, he said he was focused, he said there was an energy in him, and that he was focused on what he thought were all these boxes, and the boxes broke open, and in behind the boxes, all he could see was love. And he said, it was amazing. Everything is love, and we're all connected. Now, this person doesn't normally speak like that. He's more apt to talk about political analysis or economics or great food or something. But what fascinates me and why I'm recounting this is because I've seen this in other people before. When we get those ecstatic experiences that really shoot us through a new phase of our what consciousness or our evolution, it very often happens that the person's visage, the person's appearance changes entirely. Your eyes change. The frequency in and around the person sort of launches a much higher frequency energy. And to me, that is really love. And his eyes, which are wonderfully dark brown, went into this very bright kind of, not transparent, but it's like brown that you could see through, kind of. Very, very radiant. His skin was very radiant. The body was very radiant. And his smile was extremely radiant. This experience lasted a couple of days until he sorted out the number of people that he wanted to talk to. But I felt like it was kind of evidence of this deeper love is the first seed of the soul. I feel like it's evidence of that. Many of you have had either near-death experiences or transcendent experiences in your day. Doesn't it feel like you're just going to explode, and in the ecstasy you have this tremendous expansion energy, and it's light and light-filled, and people around you feel it as well? I hope tonight when we have call-ins, and I sure want a lot of call-ins tonight, I hope tonight when we have call-ins that you are going to call in and talk some. You can talk about anything you want, but I'd love you to talk about love, when you experience, how you experience it. What does it feel like? My understanding is with that energy, and not just with this person, but many, many people I know, or even I can be crotchety poo and crumpety bump, and somebody calls for a reading, a session, and with my guides and angels and that person, and a couple of times, this hasn't happened very often in the many years I've done sessions with people, counseling sessions, but periodically somebody will phone that I don't like, and that's my lower self saying I don't like them. And as I'm talking to them and I'm bringing through what the guidance has to say and checking into that person's soul journey and the various conflicts or growth efforts the person is making, it's so amazing how much I love them. And I feel like it's kind of, it's an absolute gift to be having this love move through me no matter what. Because one of the hardest things for a lot of us is to practice actually being in love when you're in dissension or you're in controversy, or you're in pressure, or you're in tension, or you can't see straight in your life, for whatever. So I think love, I'm saying, is a, as I'm saying, is the first seed of the soul. It's a transcendent energy frequency or a combination of frequencies that really move us. They open us. They move us. They help us touch the essence of our being, and they help us touch divinity. I really love thinking about that and knowing that it connects us all throughout the universe. So let's talk about love tonight. You can make it the lighter forms of love. You know, love isn't really attachment. I love potatoes. I love green dresses. I love blah, blah, blah. That isn't really love. But actually, all of those things can be transcendent. So let's get into talking. Let's talk about love. Let's talk about your life. What's going on in your life? There's a whole lot of fast movement on the planet. I know a lot of people, well, you do too, and most of the people, or many, many of the people that I know, are going through like rapid changes right now. It seems like people are headed in a certain direction. They think it's going to be this way or that. They feel kind of a hint of security, and then boom, things change and go in another direction. Or I've had a number of people call and say, I've just had the bun right now. I don't know if I can stand one more day in the way my life has been going. That's another, well, that's another way of saying then suddenly there's a rapid change. The energies are amping up. What does it mean to be facing the shift in 2012? Let's talk about love again. If we look at the corruption out there, we look at the stumbling, bubbling government and the issues of power that nobody seems to know, even when it comes to power through drilling for oil. Nobody seems to really know who to trust and when to, love the planet well enough to choose according to what suits nature as well as our pocketbooks. You know, nobody seems to know quite what to do about that. And I'm watching in certain ways that people are bumbling around, people in power are bumbling around trying to decide how to make decisions that will appease the powers that be. And they don't really know how to do it. And I keep thinking, gee, as the shift keeps, you know, as the movement keeps pushing on through, and our subjective reality is supposed to dominate, that's a whole other thing we're going to talk about, it seems faster and faster this disorientation is hitting our, our social structure. How do you feel about that? It seems like there's a lot of disorientation about countries, about who runs what, about what are laws all about, what's really justifiable, where are the big priorities. So we want to talk about that as well. When we're going through the shift, and many other times on our planet and our history, one of the greatest priorities is learning to drop inside on a regular basis and see if you can touch or access those deepening places of or connection to wisdom, wisdom that you can bring into your life, wisdom you can bring into the onto the planet, wisdom that can infuse and imbue the collective with the higher force, wisdom that can help us connect to some of the greater societies that are out there in the universe. So I like to start with a meditation, which means that you drop in and I drop in, we drop way inside, connect to our own personal wisdom, but the other part of it is we then connect to one another and we become a community. And to be a community means that in this case, it would be that we're all in a state of wisdom, but we're all in it together, and surely we can stop bumbling around and make decent decisions about power and empowerment, about love. So here we go. Close your eyes. Oh, and at 7:30, I haven't talked to her this week, so I don't know if she's showing up, but I think Deb O'Connor's coming in to talk to us about what's going on astrologically. Deb O'Connor of Love Dog Design. All right, close your eyes, and let's take a deep breath. Well, that feels good. One more. Above your head, about 2 miles, create a golden ball. And below your spine, about 40 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball through your spine into the lower golden ball. From the upper golden ball to about waist height, drop a four-sided gold pyramid, and it might be 60 feet out from your waist. And then upside down, another pyramid, and its point reaches the lower golden ball, and it meets the base of our upright pyramid point to point, so that you have an upright pyramid and a down-pointing pyramid hitched together to create an eight-sided figure called an octahedron. And inside of that, you have a crystal ball. When you create the crystal ball, look at those amazing transcendent colors. Maybe yours is white. Mine's a whole bunch of colors. And inside that, you're inside of a star tetrahedron or three-dimensional Star of David. Excellent. And And now I want you to spin and spin and spin. And as we spin, we activate our light body, but we also release all of our attachments to thoughts and feelings and worries and fears. Spin, spin, and spin. And as you do, take a look at the first screen. We have a magical screen in front of us. Take a look at the first section of the screen, and on that, see a movie of yourself becoming what it is you're wanting to become. What is it you want to become? I always say I want to be multidimensional. I want to be consciously multidimensional. How does that sound? Good. And when you feel like you're getting there, wrap that in light, move it over to the side, and then we're going to do the second movie. And it's about a project you want to create. Maybe you're finding home and family or relationship, or you're going to college, or you're writing a book, or you're making a television series, or you're becoming an actress, becoming enlightened. Let's see all the resources, the situations, the people, the moolah, the circumstances coming together to create your project beautifully. And as your project is created, good, and as it's successfully created, see the resources coming, the money, the people, the situation, flowing to it to maintain it, to keep it going so it goes on and on. And see yourself just grinning and clapping your hands together. Wow, I was a success. And smile as you wrap it in light and move it to the side. And now let's enter the Galactic Healing Center. Remember, you all have a team of healing guidance. And have them stand around your beautiful, clean healing table. Now, the first person to leap on the table looking for healing is you, or me in this case. So hop up on your table, and if you've got an issue, ask the team to work with that. But also, if you just let them tell you, they'll tell you something that needs to be worked on as well. That's right. And you might want to jot down, especially at the end of this, what they tell you. I'm getting told a whole bunch of things. That's right. About myself. I don't think I'm going to share this one. Now, you'll notice when they tell you something that you might want to work on in yourself, they will also link it up with some part of your body. Okay, and then they're going to pull the energy out of those parts of your body that are tied into this particular issue. Okay. And then they're going to flush you with light or purple light. Or wildly colored lights, or whatever they're doing with you in your healing room. And now wrap yourself, wrap that whole scenario in light, move it over to the side. Now we have a fresh table, and the team replicates themselves around the table. And you're bringing someone in, someone who needs healing. I have a youngish woman, well, she's not that young, middle-aged woman, and she's from another country, and she doesn't have, she has a green card, she doesn't have her final citizenship papers, although she's put in for it. She hates her job, and she can't seem to find a job that is going to accept her without her papers finally done. But this young lady has had a lot of health challenges. She's getting sick as time goes on and the pressure goes on. So we're just laying her down on the table and asking her, well, I'm asking her team, the healing team, to help her. Mm-hmm. And I'm seeing a lot of traps and negativity in her heart. Seems like she can't quite comprehend this, but she locks herself in the sense of no one really can share, talk about love. no one can really share her heart with her, because as a very, very sensitive young woman who's been pushing a lot of envelopes herself, who's really been working to recreate her life, she's hardened off, not so much hardened her heart, which is very soft, but she's got a very defended energy all around it. So the guides are pulling off. They're literally pulling out these long strings of energy that are used kind of like cotton batten to protect her. That's right. And then there's a lot. They're showing me that there's a lot in her bones. Our bones store a whole bunch of history, don't they? And her bones are showing a great deal of her background pain and the reason she doesn't trust people. So what they're doing is drawing a lot of old, kind of dulled energy out of her bones. So I'm hoping that she's going to hear this and call us later. So we're going to just absolutely infuse her with light and have them work on her old body and then wrap it in light and move it over to the right. And a fresh table. Let's see who wants to come into the fresh table. All right, we're going to see somebody who's, this woman has cancer. She's been given a year and a half, 2 years to live. So we're having her on the table. Mm-hmm. And they're working on her. And they're going right through her body, mind, pulling energy out of her. She's a very good soul. She has kind of a harshness about her, so she is restrained. Love itself is a very soft but powerful feeling. And when we see harshness, that's where one is protected, because one's love has been daunted somewhat. And I would say this one has a terrific amount of self-protection around an aspect of her life that could be soft and loving. But this society isn't really very supportive when you're very soft and squishy. So we're giving this woman a chance to have her own cells replicate in such a way as to dominate. Let's have her soft and powerful creative cells dominate her body. See them being in a dance with cancer cells. They have a right to be there and dominate. Just softness doesn't have to be weak, you see. That's it. So we're asking the team if they'll take away her fragility and her pain so she can feel great again. Now they're going to continue working with her, so we're going to move her over to the left. And now let's put the American government up on the table. Oh my goodness. It's got to be a big table, but since this is magic, we can do anything we want, right? Now let's also call in realms and realms of the guides and the angels. Let's call in amazing realms and realms of consciousness that go way out into the universe and have them wrap this wonderful group of beings, a lot of whom are moving through these decisions and so on under pressure. And for a lot of the strangest motivations, some of them are finding the motivations or empowerment. I don't see very many just straight idealists here or beings who want to do collective gathering for people. And it looks like a very frayed and motley crew to me. Who do you see on the table? Let's have fun with this. And now we're asking for the team and all the beings of many, many consciousness levels to work with each of them so they can integrate the higher level of their purpose on this planet. Because I believe that the American government, as we're seeing it now, has the potential to look like a lotus instead of like a rag bag here. Yeah. You see, if each petal in the lotus was responding to lobbyists, I wonder what it would be like. If you look at it like that, it's a lot more fun to play with the image. And the team is saying that there's an awful lot of consciousness and energy trying to come through some of the key players there, whether they'll let it through or not, because we are human beings and we do have free will. So let's wrap the government in light, and let's try to see it as we the people, of the people, for the people, by the people, yes, and that we have the ability to move as a phoenix, soaring down and then back up again. Now let's call in some very, very bright pink light. Have it come down in through the top of your head, down fill your heart, and out through your hands. And then we're going to send that light to all of the hot places on the planet. I don't just mean temperature-wise. I mean places that need help, places that need assistance, where people are very sick, where people are very poor, where the battles are still hot, like in Libya, you know, like in North Korea, where there's so much confusion about how people are going to maintain any kind of power, and all over the world where there's some really incredible damaging experiences going on and people are either working together or not. Let's see the solidarity among love is in all of us, divinity is in all of us, and the unity of love is what keeps us going as a species. Now, let's just see all that pink light touching down all the difficult spots and seeing the people being lifted and refreshed, and have the pink light come back and then move up through the table and touch the hearts of all of the beings that are in any positions of power. We're just doing America tonight. You can say that's not all. I'm saying you're right. All right? And touching the hearts and the consciousness of all people that are in any positions of power. And also to touch all of our hearts so that we can rise and be a transformative nation again. And now take that pink light and absolutely soak the world in it. It's the light of harmony, of transformation, of love. And have that pink light go round and round the planet. Absolutely soak it. And come back around to you through your hands, up your arms. Flood your body. Your heart is just pulsing with this wonderful pink light. Move it back up your neck, up through your head, way out into the great central sun. Let's close off the Galactic Healing Center. Oh, we better send back all of these wonderful beings that are running our country back into the places they belong. And then hop into your double tetrahedron and spin and spin and spin and spin. And now we're going to pick up the first call. Good evening. You're on the air. Hello, hello.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well. How are you doing?
I'm good. This is Lisa, and I was really paying attention to you when you were doing the meditation.
I'm
glad.
It seems
like there's a theme of women protecting themselves, like energetically or something.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like you were talking to me, but I was not one of those women.
Oh. Well, how are you doing? You look very strong tonight.
Oh, good. Thank you. I'm feeling like I'm going, like you were saying, how things are picking up energetically. I feel like I don't know, it's charging me up. That's
good.
A good word for it.
Good.
As
long as you're not charging your card.
Say that again?
I said as long as you're not charging your card. I was making a small joke about credit.
But I do have a question for you.
Goody.
I don't know. I mean, what my main question is about work. I just interviewed for a job. I could possibly get it. It's a part-time job. But as you were doing the meditation, I began to become aware of how I have an energetic block over my heart. I can feel it.
Good.
And so I guess it's a two-part question. The thing that's happening in my chest, do you see it as something that I can heal? And
I sure do.
Healing that help procure work, because I feel like the two are related.
I missed your phone, bopped out just at the part of the last sentence.
Would healing that help me procure work?
Right, it would, actually. I'll tell you why is that, and this is something we all need to know, is when you're going forward and you're wanting to attract something, when you have that kind of a block in your heart, your vibrations get weak at that point. And sometimes, for example, with me, because I'm kind of dramatic, sometimes when that happens with people, I totally forget that they're around and I forget to talk to them. That's just a funny and a cheeky example, but it's not because I want to be a jerk. It's because I just don't think about them. And I suspect that's true for all of us. So when I want to tell everybody at home, this is not just about Lisa. All of us have protections around our heart of some form or another. And so when we're talking with Lisa, I want you to wrap yourself in light. Everybody wrap yourself in light and call up in and around your own heart. And you can do this with your higher self. Tune into your higher self and then ask your higher self for help as you call up. How blocked is your heart? Yeah. I can see mine right where mine is. How blocked is your heart? I want to feel all that block. Okay. And especially with you, Lisa, I want everybody to ask themselves, what is the emotion or what is the predominant emotion in that block? Because that's what I saw with yours the most, Lisa, is a predominant certain kind of feeling.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I finished.
I was just going to ask you, do you sense it's my heart or do you sense it's actually, I want to say my breast. I know that sounds kind of weird, but I think it might be maternal, more related to something maternal and less heart. I don't know.
Well, you know what? Let me put it this way, because if we're thinking about it, how can we separate the breast from the lungs, from the heart in a way? Because all of them are extremely sensitive about what's happened in the past and about nurturing, right? And about the courage to nurture oneself or let oneself feel nurtured. See how complicated that can get?
Yes.
So I tend to be pretty intellectual, but I try to use very little intellect in this kind of thing. I'll be with you in just one moment. I'm glad you're there. But so I would say to you, the first thing that hit me, Lisa, was that you had that block. It's sitting right in front of your heart on the left side, and what's in it is tears and some old hurts and kind of a wide-eyed watchfulness. That's what I saw first flash. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now, when you think of a word, if you think of a gathering of words like wide-eyed watchfulness, doesn't it mean we're standing back a bit?
Yeah, looking at things.
Yeah, so I would say to you, and of course I have to make this short, but I would say to you, if any of those words work with you, get inside your body when you hang up and really call up all those feelings and then command total release of them over and over again, and you'll find that because you intrinsically have a very sensitive, soft but strong flow of love and compassion, appreciation for people, I think you'll find that those will build up speed, and instead of a defense around the heart, you'll feel that compassion, and that really, and I almost said when you first called, hey, you got a job, so let's go with that.
Yeah, as I was listening to you, I got a call from one of my agents and said, okay, you're
going to
probably book this. I'm like, okay,
great. Yay! You're going to have to tell us when in a couple of weeks what's going on.
Oh, definitely. And thank you for that, because I'm going to do that.
So well, bless your heart. Bye. Literally, bless your heart, everyone.
Take
care. All right. Now, you're on the air. We're talking about love, so we love having you on the air.
This is Kathy from Bellingham.
Hi, perfect.
More of a comment than a question.
Okay.
I'd like to hear your comments specifically for women, probably over 55, and women that are living alone. And it seems like the challenges that are going on, especially for this group, is even more so because it's not only personal, it's sort of societal as well.
Because you're the ostracized group?
Or invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you have gray hair, you're not seen.
That's a very interesting concept, isn't it? Because then the art of keeping your love, although you've got a pretty good heart, do you know that?
It comes and goes. And I think it's just, it's an interesting challenge for women.
It's a very big challenge for women. Yeah, I'd like to address that, in fact. But it seems like what we have to do, you said it comes and goes, and what I like about that is the heart kind of functions like a sea anemone a lot of times. Somebody comes up and goes boo, and it curls up, right? And when I'm looking at women, for example, rather than retreat, it's going to be up to you to reach forward with your heart and be participating somehow. Because if you let yourself, remember the old things, if you don't use it, you lose it? And
right.
I don't believe that that's true about the heart, but I do think if we withdraw in self-protection, it becomes easier to be isolated and easier to be ignored. You see what I mean?
Well, how is it different for men at that group who are alone?
Because men live a different reality than we do in many ways, that they often are seen, you know, you can be an older man with a younger woman. Nobody thinks that's really weird. The other way around is fairly weird. Men often are given power just for being a tall man, for example. We don't usually experience quite the same thing, although it's coming. We're getting better. But they have a whole different way of putting their presence into the world. You know what I mean?
Hmm. Okay.
It's very different for a man, I think. Yet I know a lot of men, and I have a lot of men clients, and some of them are really lonely and very isolated. So there you have it. They also have to put their best foot forward and really push their energy into some form of connection out there. Because without the connection, I don't know how we can keep our hearts really vibrant.
Hmm. Heart healthy.
Yeah, I think that's probably a really clever thing to say, Kathy, because putting your heart out there and sharing your love however you can is a really wise move because it generates more love, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think of, I think it's dogs or horses. One ailment is heartworms. And what a concept of a worm in your heart, just destroying it.
But your question is well asked because I think we have to create that connection, and that's hard for a lot of people, especially if they're tired. But we'll talk about that again. I really am glad you brought that subject up.
Oh, great. Well, thank you.
Thank you very much. Good evening. Good evening. You're on the air as well.
Hi, Veronica. It's Beth.
Hi, Beth. It's been a while. How are you doing?
Good. It's so funny that you're talking about love because I finally feel like I can share my love.
Oh,
and
good. Have you met someone?
Well, you know, with the opposite sex. I mean, you know, like in a relationship. I mean, because I share my love in other ways, but.
Have you met someone?
I haven't. And my question to you is, do you see anybody in the future, near future?
I do. First of all, you're going through a huge change. You're going to go through a really big change this month. Do you have a birthday next month?
I do.
Okay, there's something about big change and then a birthday, and there's a kind of a... Now we'll go back to Kathy's call because the big change has a lot to do with you. I think you're going to get really mad about something and really, you know, when you get into that, not you, but a lot of us get into that kind of space where we go, okay, I've had enough. I'm rethinking my position on this, that, and the other thing. And then something in you changes. So you've got one of those big things coming up in a week or week and a half or something. And after that, you start doing things differently. And people respond, think about the first woman who called in, if you heard her, people respond to you very differently. And all at once, you have several, and used to attract men really easily, you chose not to for a while, and now you're going to find you're going to start attracting them again, but it's going to be a higher level. You're moving up the tree or up the chain. But I think you have to go through some big thing first, and I like it for you.
Yeah, I'm actually very excited about that because I think I am too. I'm starting to do this book. It's all about my 30-day change about who you are because I feel like I do need to look at things differently. And because I kind of feel like I'm in a rut kind of thing. So I think...
But you know what? When you said I'm in a rut, I want to say, am I cross-talking? Am I talking over you? Sorry.
No, not at all.
Okay, so when you said I'm in a rut, I want to say it's the I part of you that is going to go through a huge change. You're digging into a deeper place of meaningfulness for yourself. And in that place, you're going to find that you can be, and we've already spoken about this tonight, you can be kind of softer, you can be more patient, you can listen better, and you're going to do a lot of writing or something that's very isolated. And then you're going to step forward socially in a different way. Your whole frequency is going to be different. If somebody were observing you from a cloud or something without being socially involved with you, they probably would say, boy, are you ever maturing over the next little while. That doesn't mean wrinkling up.
Yeah, I know. Better not. Now I can.
No, it's a really nice time, but it's not. One part of it means you're going to be really angry for a bit, but I think that's quite good. It's good to be volatile sometimes.
Okay.
Don't whack anybody over the head with a 2x4, but what I want to see is there's something way, and everybody at home think about this, there's something way down deep in the belly, the second chakra, that wants to come up and then poof, move through your body, and then you'll feel like you lost something that's been plugged in for a long time, and you're relieved.
Nice.
And there's less to defend. Sometimes our defensiveness in love and in life is because we're trying to cover up the fact that we've stuffed some things away inside of ourselves. So I really don't think we have to know what they all are, but you're going to dump something, and it's really quite good for you. So I'm saying to you, your birthday is going to be quite a change for you.
Nice. Can you recommend anything that I should...
I can't quite hear you.
What? Is there anything that you suggest that I should do? Like, you should meditate, or you should try doing this meditation, or you should try doing this or do that. Is there anything you...
Okay, are you doing a workout?
I did start working out, like I'm walking, and
okay.
I'm also doing this book that's all about like getting deeper into the feelings like that. I'm doing that.
Oh, good. Okay. Because what I want to say is in the meditation, you can meditate by working out, or you can meditate by intense breathing, and you can meditate with focus, and you can meditate with emptying your mind. But I want some kind of intense physical meditation, like a really deep pranayama breathing thing, or a dance thing that makes you breathe. You see, something dynamic. I want something like that, because this thing's going to, whatever these old programs are, is they're going to loosen and pop up through your body mind.
That's interesting, because I've been really, really like wanting to like just go for a walk or go for a run, and it's like almost like my body's like, come on, do it. You got to do it now.
Well, and I want you to remember that when you do that, it shifts how you've stored things in your body. And I'm promising you this. I don't know if I should ever promise. You'll want your money back, right? as you move vigorously, these things can't help but move up and out of your body. And I'm saying to you, your whole body is saying to me, I don't want to be this way anymore. And I'm saying, well, move your body, because it's ready to move. It's ready to be dislodged, you know?
Okay. Yeah.
And I figure it's about a week and a half or so before you should go through a really big thing. And it's not awful big. It's just something, a mood or, you know, an emotional hoo-ha.
Great. Yeah. Oh, my gosh. I'm excited and a little curious about what's going to happen.
Well, we're expecting a little reportage, darling.
All right, definitely. Thank you.
Nice to hear your voice.
I really, really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you very much for calling.
Okay. Bye.
Bye, honey. So I don't think there's anyone else on the line, but the line is, if there isn't, is 888-627-6008, 888-627-6008. Deb, if you're out there, I think you've forgotten us again. Oh, my gosh. I guess we'll have to talk about that. So this is Veronica Entwistle. I'm an intuitive and energy counselor, and I have to tell you that in my body mind, I'm sometimes shocked lately at how fast energies are moving on our planet, in and around our planet, and how I feel plugs of my own wanting to move up through my body mind. And sometimes it's very, very disquieting. But all around me, I see a lot of people moving in their own lives. They're moving to different jobs. They're trying to make sense of being peaceful and meditative when everything around them is changing. People are shifting homes and residences and trying to decide politically what to do, or whether we go out and march, or whether we just pray a lot. And going back to love, if everything is love and it's all an illusion, sometimes when all this weird stuff is going on, we already talked about when you're heart is blocked, how you isolate and you push things away. If we can move back inside and really bring feelings of love up and through, I think it is going to change the nature of our socio-political reality. It's going to change the nature of our planet. We go back into the internet, and there's so much on the internet about love, about oneness, about, again, oneness is the great unity that we all know is way underneath us all. So as we're fretful about the amazing things going on in our planet, golly, it seems like love would be the solution, wouldn't it? Now I'm going to take a peek here before, because you're not calling in. If you call in, I'll let you interrupt me. But I'm taking a peek here at a couple that I see, and they're having a really difficult time, and so are their children. And they're having a difficult, as they have a difficult time, I think it's financial. It's not just financial, it's the financial has come up on top of other things that are bugging them. And then he becomes, I suppose, more inward. And I want to say he becomes weakened, but it's more like he becomes more isolated, and she becomes more angry, frustrated, and dynamic. And the two of them together, if you watch each of those increasing the volatility of their reaction, you know what's going to have to happen. They can't be together, can they? And so looking at these people, I want to say to all of us, including the people that I'm talking to, drop inside and really feel, because both of them have tremendous energy locking their hearts. It's just being expressed in a different way. Now I want them to both go inside, and all of you, wrap yourself in light. Always wrap yourself in light, because you don't want to take on other people's feelings. Wrap yourself in light, and then ask to feel, say if you were having problems with, say, maybe finances and or your partner's health and your finances or something. Pick two things or three things that are really a lot, and see what happens to your heart. Then you go into a state of defense. And when you're in a state of defense, what happens to your heart? And when you're in a state of fear, what happens to your heart? Or simply if you're overwhelmed, what happens to your heart? How does it feel in your body? Yeah, is it easy for anyone to come close to you? You can feel that. If you've got a lot of tension in your heart, the people that want to be with you don't quite know how to, what would we say, how to experience you, how to know you, how to hear you. So we exaggerate that feeling, call up whatever's blocking your heart right now, and it'll show energetically like a thing pushing on your heart, or it'll feel like a slab, or it'll feel like a box. Call it up and tell me what you see. And now let's ask for help from our guides and angels. Now remember, the guides and angels always love us. I can't believe it sometimes. Even if you behave badly, they love you. and ask for help from our loving guides and angels as we drop the block, or we command total release of it. That's it. And as you drop that block or command total release of it, then see yourself bringing the violet flame whirling, burning up through the whole length of your body, squeegeeing, moving that violet flame in front of your chest and behind the block or where it was before, and burn and burn and burn all the energy from the blocks all the way up to the top of your head. And now throw yourself into a star tetrahedron one more time and spin and spin and spin and spin and spin. Now at the top of the hour tonight, we're going to be talking with Jackie Solvitti. She's got a show called ET Healing and Explorations in Consciousness. I just washed my mouth and can't do a thing with it, right? And I don't remember what they're going to talk about this week. I should have had that right in front of my... They're always very interesting. Jackie's come back from a very severe illness, and it knows a lot about transcendence and knows a terrific amount of love. And so do her team, her guides and angels, they're called the team, come through and do, she channels them for a while. Talk about love, they are really loving, and so is Jackie. So tune in at the top of the hour if you can. And then next week, I believe we're going to be talking to, maybe Bob knows, are we going to have Galexis back on? We have next Tuesday, we're going to be talking with Galexis again about these times of change, great change, and so on. This is a very exciting interview. And that's Tuesday night at 8 o'clock on Paradigm Shifters. How many of you listen to Paradigm Shifters? I'd surely like some feedback from you on Dave DeLuca writing on the Vedantas and on Ashtar. We talked about how the world is going last week with Ashtar and why the tectonic plates are moving the way they are. And they talked, I don't know how many of you heard this part, they talked about how the shape of the world had gotten fat, Mother Earth had gotten fat around the waist because of the movement of the Earth and the Moon, and then the effect of the Moon and the Sun and the different energies of the Sun on the magnetic forces on the Moon and how that affected the Earth and how that shifted the polarities on the planet, the polar ice shift, not the polar caps were shifted by it, and the tectonic plates, everything magnetically was shifted just a little, which is why the nature of earthquakes hit the East Coast and some of the storms were like they were. But they said also that the poles were going to do refreezing. There's going to be a rebalancing of the atmosphere, and we're going to get more of the freezing of the poles. So I don't know. It was a very, very exciting interview. I hope some of you will give me feedback on that. And I as I said on Sacred Jewels of Yoga by Dave DeLuca, and before that, we'd had the Bhagavad Gita written by Jack Hawley, written for Westerners or rewritten for Westerners so we could understand it. So we're getting a lot of the deeper philosophies under the underpinning, undercurrent philosophies of some of the ancient religions on the planet. So please let me know what you think of Paradigm Shifters or of this show, if you have suggestions of guests for Paradigm Shifters, or if you'd like a session with me and my guides and angels. For whatever reason, write to me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, and let me know what you think. So thank you so much for tuning in. Stay tuned to the top of the hour if you can, and we will talk on Tuesday night at 8 o'clock. Of course, I'll be on top of the hour, too. Thank you for listening. Many, many blessings. Good night.